to Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said, "This is where you get off, boy, because I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said,
"Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. Text line still, if you got time, or if we get time, 251-343-0106. So get them in while you can. Joining us now on the line, he was victorious in his bid for the Republican nomination on Tuesday in a special election Republican primary for House District 1. But Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great, buddy.
One step closer. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I was very pleased with the percentage that we wound up with. We wound up with roughly about 75% of the votes. And that's very encouraging, needless to say. And the turnout was about what we expected. But we certainly have got to have a different turnout in November. And I think you've talked about it several times. But November is where the real battleground's going to be. But so many of these Republican races, not just ours, but several.
What would you say? I think you exceeded expectations. I don't know what it was like for you internally, but it seems like you built on your May 19th totals for sure. Now, you know, competition was a little different back then. But, the voters spoke and you did pretty well.
Well, a lot of the voters didn't vote on May the 19th on our race I shouldn't say that. There was a fair amount that didn't vote May 19th that I think actually turned out for this. So, and I appreciate that. But, you know, our message, we keep pushing our same message. You know, we keep running on our history, our voting history and things that we've done within the district, you know, over a 4-year period. And it resonates with people. I mean, obviously, we're pretty positive in that, when we talk about it, it's showed in the numbers. So big thing in November is it's just going to be a numbers game. We anticipate our Democrats to really turn out, due to the redistricting. They didn't like that. They felt like they got cheated. Well, I felt like I got cheated 2 years ago too when they changed it on me. But we've got to figure out a way to get our Republican brethren out to vote.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'll just ask the question since it got a little press. The idea of a debate, is that something you're open to, or you don't see as important?
Jeff, I'm not going to spend $1,300,000 to get my name ID for a no name to get on my back and ride. So I have no intentions of doing a debate. I mean, that is just if you look, there's so many races that the Democrats are so weak in, and that's the first thing they're screaming. I mean, he's reading straight from the Democratic playbook. He can sit and call me names all he wants to. That's fine. I'm thick skinned. It's not my first rodeo. But I know the debate is totally out of the question. I have no intention of giving him free airtime based on my efforts that I've spent the last 15 years developing.
Yeah, and so here we are in, you know, November, and I'm just telling you, I think you're in pretty good shape here, but maybe it's not just your race. I had Barry Moore on yesterday, and we were kind of talking about it, that some of you guys who are in what is forecast to be, you know, safe seats or whatever you want to call it for Republicans, that you got to start looking around the country now, and is there any way you're going to be able to help other Republicans win? Because that seems to be where the real fight's going to be, is Republican control of Capitol Hill.
Yes. Speaker Johnson talked to me a few weeks ago, and I had committed to help whoever won in District 2 quite a bit, which is going to obviously be Rhett at this point. So you'll see me, or you may not, but I'll be doing some fundraising and some stuff for Rhett. They haven't asked me to focus on anyone else in D.C. They've got a group called Vanguard, which is all the new up-and-coming young Republican congressmen. I'll go and speak to them and give them a hoorah speech in D.C. But they haven't given me any other orders, you know, to help them with or ask for anything other than with Rhett. So that's going to be a true dogfight there. That's basically 50-50 at this point. So we've got to find a way to keep that seat. That's District 2.
In that district, you spend a little time in, obviously, campaigning. It seems like having an incumbent on the ballot on the Democrat side is going to pose some challenges. It's different. It's unique for Alabama because that, you know, incumbents, just by virtue of their incumbency, are able to raise money. They're able to get some more national attention, perhaps. So, you know, when you talk to Speaker Johnson and other high-ranking Republicans, I mean, the idea of AL2 staying Democrat still is a fear, it seems.
It's definitely a fear, and the Democrats have accepted that district as being a medal of honor if they can keep it. I mean, that's going to be a big determining factor. I saw an article the other day that said it may determine who's in control of the House, that one district. So we all need to be pulling what weight we can to help Rhett. You know, Shamari is certainly not new to the scene. He's been involved in politics his entire life. Well-spoken, nice family, you know, good guy. But the problem is, you know, we get him in Washington, he's going to vote against everything we need. So, unfortunately, we got to pick sides, and he's on the wrong side. So we're going to do what we can do to help Rhett. But it's not going to be – you're going to see the Democrat Party turn out money. You're going to see the Democrat Party turn out name people, you know, AOC. You'll probably see Obama come down and do some stuff for him because, you know, he did work for Obama for 8 years. So the Obama family knows him very well. So but we're not going to give up. We're far from giving up. And at the same time, I have to run my race. I'm not taking my race lightly. I spoke twice yesterday at two different events. That's the day after or 2 days after the election, which is unheard of. I've got one event today that I'll do, and then I'm back home, and we'll take next week off a few days. But we're right back out doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not taking anything for granted.
Something you've talked about in the past, and just I think we'll kind of circle back to it here on the program, but when you win and you get to D.C., talk about the committee assignments and keeping the seniority and sort of how that works in that ecosystem.
Should we keep the House, the majority in the House? I will go back on appropriations and go back on natural resources. There has been some conversations that they've had with me about possibly helping them somewhere else. I'm not real crazy about the idea, but Speaker Johnson and the powers to be have told me I'll go back on those committees if that's where I want to go. And obviously that's where I want to go. That's where I'm most comfortable. I keep my seniority. The average congressman lasts about 6.5 years up there. There's a huge turnover of a congressman this cycle, larger than normal. So that will, with our 4 years of seniority going back in, probably will put us in a real good spot maybe to pick up a sub seat, you know, as a chairman, which, you know, all this is not necessarily for me as much as it is for the district. I mean, we can get a sub chair on appropriation. It really reflects a lot on South Alabama District 1. So we're excited about the possibilities of that. Of course, natural resources is certainly nothing to frown about. That's a great, great committee. It affects so many things in South Alabama. All of our fisheries, whether it's salt or fresh water, I mean, all of our natural resources fall under that. So it's not just trees. Everybody views it as being trees, but that's probably one of the smaller areas that they focus on.
Well, so you get back to D.C. Well, what happens if Republicans don't keep the majority? What does it look for you?
Yeah, it becomes a shuffling match at that point. Our seniority will certainly move me up where I can pick seats or pick committees that I will have preference. The steering committee itself, which is made up of, I think, 12 members, those 12 actually ultimately make the decision on which committee that you get on. Most of those, and of course, Gary Palmer's on that steering committee. And most of those members I know very well. So we would get, it may be appropriations, it may be natural resources, it may be ways and means. It may be that we wind up back on armed services, which is a great place to be right now. You know, the state of Alabama with manufacturing submarines and the ship industry. So we'll just have to see. But if we go back in the minority, if we lose and we go back in the minority, it'll all get shuffled up. So the Democrats will take control of all those committees, subcommittees, and we become the second choice on so many things.
Joined by Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, talk about the delegation in Alabama as a whole. It is pretty senior. Rhett will come in as a freshman if he wins. And then obviously Terry Sewell's been there a while, but and Dale Strong been there a term, but the rest of it, you know, it's poised to do things. It's in good shape, it seems like. And, you know, I know like over the years that there's been some friction, but I think with the departure of Bo Brooks, a lot of that's gone away. But y'all seem like to be kind of on the same page on a lot of things.
Yes, sir. We are. And we're trying to work together. We truly do. I mean, having friends in D.C. and trying to be friends with folks in D.C., even the people that you may not like, it's very, very beneficial. I mean, we can fight like families behind the doors, but when we get out front, we need to have a different face on us.
But that situation right now, as far as I can tell, is as good a shape as it's ever been. You know, like I said, the members have come and gone over the last 10 years, but right now it's kind of quiet on that front.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and they backed you, right? You had Mike Rogers, you had Dale Strong, and you had Robert Aderholt there too, I guess.
I got the entire delegation, obviously, other than Terry Sewell and figures. But yeah, we got backings from all. But, you know, Jeff, we're very proud of Alabama in that we do all sit down and we all have lunch together and we all try to work together. And that includes Terry. And, of course, I haven't been up there with Shamari in office, but he's sitting at that same table. We view Alabama as one, and we try to work as one, trying to help one another. So Alabama's one of the few states that does that. Mississippi, they don't sit down together. I mean, they've got their own set of, you know, their own set of issues. Texas, as large as Texas is, a lot of those guys don't get along. They don't have a lot of conversation. But Alabama's special. I mean, it's because of people like Mike Rogers. Mike Rogers makes darn sure we all show up and we sit down and we talk.
I guess people aren't aware of that because you're right. You know, a lot of these delegations, you know, they're divided along partisan lines a lot of times. But even the members in the same party, there's real friction there. And Alabama, like I said, we had like a brief run at it maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. But since then, it does seem like things have kind of always kind of coexisted in a way. Like, and I would point to like Space Command and when they had the press conference there with Trump, and you saw the entire Republicans on the delegation, including the two U.S. senators, kind of lined up with the president. You know, I can't think of another time, like, really where you see that in modern kind of Washington, D.C. politics.
And I'm talking about us sitting down as a group. You know, our senators are involved there, too. Tuberville will show up. Katie will show up. I mean, we're one big family, and we're sharing ideas of what we need and how we need it. And that's so unusual But you have people like Mike Rogers that have really kept that together. We have what's called the Southern Delegation, which is Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee.
Yeah,
everybody but Texas. Texas is so large and has so many members. We have to treat them a little bit different. We love our folks in Texas. Don't get me wrong, but when you've got that many members and that strong of a vote, you have to be careful how it swings. But the Southern Delegation gets together once a month, and we chip in and we buy dinner and take turns buying dinner, and we sit and we talk about problems that we have, you know, that affects the South. That's unheard of. The North doesn't do that. West doesn't do that. But, you know, we try to take this, I don't know, call it Southern charm or Southern ways of doing business, and we try to apply it to politics and try to take care of one another, especially for us right here in my district. What happens over in Ingalls Shipyard affects me directly in south part of Mobile County. Because so many of those people working in Mississippi Shipyard actually live in Mobile or South Mobile County. So it's important to me to have good, strong relationships with my Mississippi friends because of the shipyard there. I mean, that feeds a lot of families.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. Get some rest, and we'll circle back again with you later on down the road.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. God bless you.
Thank you. Congressman, our former Congressman Jerry Carl, the Republican nominee for the 1st Congressional District there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.